welcome everybody at their podcast land this morning. We've got a great show tonight. We've got a recurring guest, Miss Carissa Grant from WorthyChaos.com. She makes a wonderful, wonderful webisode. It's called Redemption. And this, we're talking about the season 7 of it. And just let you know, this is the C-List Villains with Villainous Red, Evil Fett, the Cultivators of Comic Culture and Cosplay Culture on Saturdays and Sundays. So let's take it away. We want to welcome Carissa to the show. Welcome, Carissa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I hear a feedback. Is that me?
Is it like an echo?
Kind of, but not really.
How about now?
I don't hear it now. It was like a squeak.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. I probably heard that same squeak, yeah.
But
yeah.
You don't hear it now, right?
Not now. I don't think
okay,
so.
Okay, great. We're starting out great here at C-List Villains this morning. It's early.
It's okay.
Just to let you know, Carissa, we're going to do a little backup for some of the people that didn't see the last episode with you. Carissa makes this great webisode, our web comic. It's called Redemption. It's a kind of a sci-fi horror adventure comic that's set in a now time. future. No, yeah, our era. It's
far away.
Quite exciting. It's quite exciting with a little bit of angel and devil feel to it. I've read it. I like it. It's good. And you should be proud of yourself for the work that you've done, Carissa.
Why, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's a long series. But yeah, it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Supernatural in the Silent Hill town in the Resident Evil world with good omens and Evil Dead tossed in for fun. So it's got quite a bit going on. Quite chaotic, hence the name. But
that's what gives it flavor, though, right?
It does. Yeah, it's definitely got flavor to it.
So let's talk about the new episode that's out, 7. Where is it taking us? Where is it going? And we already kind of know where it's been, but where's it going in number 7?
I only got photo for 6, so 4, 5, and 6.
So issue 7 is the final issue of book 1. So there's 5 books total, and this is book 1. And they're all connected, but they're just kind of different environments, we can say. So issue 7 concludes them in town and what they're going through and kind of answer a lot of questions that people might have by what's going in the last 6 issues. And then it leads into book 2. And it's a little bit longer. It's 38 pages of story. And a lot happens. It's very action packed, but it explains a lot. And you get to see Anubis and the angels and demons fight and Hellhound chasing them. And it's a lot. But yeah, so well, if you like action and horror, then you'll like it. If you don't like action and cursing, you won't like it.
Well, I'll love it because I love action and cursing. Too bad I can't do more of it on the C-List Villains, but we try to keep it PG-13 here.
No, that's a TV show, but you can still cuss.
You get one F word per issue, per episode.
It's awesome.
But yeah, so we're on Kickstarter till Halloween, and Halloween is my 1 year in comics.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
A round of applause. We're
excited to celebrate that. We're moving right along. Issue 7's already done. It's getting lettered now. Issue 9 has already been sketched out layouts, so we're getting ahead. And issue 7, aka book 2, chapter 1, will be January 8th, and we'll start the new year with our second book.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. Each of your episodes kind of has a different feel to it. What feel is 7 for the listeners out there?
7 is a tiny bit more chaotic than the others, because they go through different environments. They're like, they're in a house on fire. You know, they're dealing with things that are going on. They have angels confronting them. They have angels and demons fighting. They have hellhounds chasing them. They have a demon that captured them. They're trying to get away in the woods, and then they get trapped at the end. So, it's a lot happening. But all of it's important. And trust me, I would shorten it if I could, because I'd save a fortune.
Well, we don't want to shorten. We want to dive into it deep. So we're glad that you made it longer and a little more detailed, because some of the readers out there that may, you know, subscribe to your Kickstarter, they might just get number 7 and they didn't get the other 6. So if you're doing a little backstory in it, that will help them jump right in and want, you know, chapter 2 or episode. That's great.
Yeah. So to start off, to give anyone new, so in the very beginning of these 7 episodes or issues, you see a dream of the past of Serafina and Draven. Now, Serafina is an angel descendant, and Draven is a demon descendant, and they met as teenagers. They think they're human. We know otherwise because we go through the fathers, and we can see through them, starting in issue 3. But in the beginning of issue 1, you see them about to run away together, and what happens is her brother becomes possessed by a demon and murders her parents and goes after her. She calls Draven, knowing he's on his way back, tells him not to come because her brother's going to kill her. And of course, he comes right away. He goes in the front door. She jumps out the back window and is trying to get to him. He slips on her blood and calls her name. She turns around to go back, and she gets hit by a car and taken to another city in a coma for months. And Draven is arrested for the murder. So for 10 years, they think the other one's dead. She trains as a supernatural hunter, and he trains it as an assassin. Now, the thing is, Serafina was created from this angelic weapon that the angels and demons want. It can tip the scale of the war between heaven and hell in either's favor. So they're trying to get that. The only thing is, they can only get it when it's activated and they're together. So the angels and demons trick them into being in the same town together and then merge the entire town with hell, trying to get this weapon from them. So it's a survival horror with Romeo and Juliet in hell, however you want to see it. But it's mostly them trying to survive against their fathers. The only problem is the major way or easiest way for the demons and angels to activate it is actually to kill her, take her soul, and use it to activate the weapon. So unfortunately, Serafina and Draven aren't for all that. So they're fighting against everything that comes after them, including hellhounds, zombies, zombie mermen, ghosts, Anubis, humans, anything they could possibly think of, vampires. We get to see the strings being pulled that they don't understand are being pulled. So we get to see a point of view they don't, you know. And for anyone that doesn't know, the story is written by 2 different people. I start off the story and I write everything Serafina, all her actions, her speech, thoughts, everything. And then I send it to my co-writer, who then writes the chapter in Draven's point of view. So my co-writer Jess does all of the Draven's vocals, thoughts, everything. So when you're reading it, there's 2 different personalities there, because there's 2 different writers for the main 2 characters.
Let me ask you, in the collaboration with you and your co-writer, do you guys talk about it before, or you just kind of go cold and do yours and let him or the other co-writer do theirs, and then you merge them together? Or is there some collaboration beforehand to get the storyline straight, or no?
So we get a generalized idea. You know, we pretty much know the direction we're going, but we don't outline it. We don't have any set thoughts on how to get there. Just a generalized, we're going to go through here. And then when I start writing, I have no idea what I'm going to write or what's going to happen. And then my co-writer has no idea what it's going to be until Jess gets the actual chapter. So we have a generalized thing, but we don't outline it. We just kind of play it by ear and go like that. And I am, for anyone that also doesn't know, these were 5 novels already written, not published. It was just for fun. and they're being converted into comics. So it's already written for series one, and it's about 45 issues written.
Oh, I see. I see. So it's two first person, and then the reader has a third person perspective of the book.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
You sound pretty much the kitchen sink of these people, at your protagonist. It's like, well, are you looking to add more monsters and demons into this mix, or?
Oh, you have no idea. So, so for book two, they're trapped in a haunted asylum. The asylum is completely taken over by ghosts. It has a life of its own, and they cannot get out. So they're fighting against zombies, giant salamanders, and ghosts. Also, there are in the basement. There are. Chameleon vampire bats. So it's chameleons mixed with vampire bats, so they can hide and you can't really see them. I'm also going to have plushies. I have new plushies every book. So this plushie, for this book, we had the zombie merman, which was sold. We still have one Anubis plushie left.
That one's cool.
Yeah, our hellhound was sold, but we'll probably have another one in book two. And we do have two... skeleton bird plushies available. And all these are designed by me and created by Down Home Textiles. And they're only available through us. They're all handmade. And they're absolutely gorgeous. That's the lyrics to our song, by the way, that you just zoomed through. so if anyone plays the song, plays the video, that's the song in the background. The lyrics are based on our characters, and it's an add-on for $3. You get the vocal and the instrumental version, and we're also have a new one being made for two. So we're hoping to have a new song per book and new plushies per book. So the next book will have the salamander monster plushies, the chameleon vampire bat plushies, and zombies in straight jackets. So we'll also be there.
So how are you going to translate book one to book two? What's going to be the bridge to gap them?
Well, that's what happens in issue seven. So issue seven leads into, so what happens at the end is what leads them into it. So you have to read it. But it was not planned, I can assure you, for them to run into there. It just, the angels and demons caused it when they tried to stop it. They actually did not want them to go in because it would have... It would make the weapon harder for them to get to. So while they fought over trying to prevent them to get into it, they actually caused it.
So now what is the name of the weapon? Does the weapon have a name?
No, it's just an angelic weapon. It's something I'm sure Remnal has a name for it, but her father is the one that created the weapon. He used to use it. I don't know if you know anything about scripture, but Remnal is the angel that would judge souls on earth to go to heaven. So he would store them in that. And then Asma, who is Draven's father, would take those souls and try to feed off of them because he devours souls. So they have been feuding for centuries. And then when the angel used the weapon to create the daughter, which is Serafina, it caused the weapon to become hers. And now it became a huge issue that they can't get to it. So they've been trying to get this weapon for a long time. Something happened in the prequel that we haven't shown yet. We're probably going to show it in flashbacks in like book four or five, but it shows why this time it's different and what caused it and how their guardian angel screwed them over. So not on purpose, but
can I ask a crazy question? Because I'm a crazy guy. If the weapon devours souls or collects souls, if i.e. a ghost or something that doesn't have a soul, it doesn't work for them?
It doesn't just suck up souls. It can suck up souls, but you'd have to activate it to do it. So it has the power of souls in it, but Serafina and Draven don't know that. They think it's a literal keychain. Like they just carry it around with them. And it hasn't been activated because when they were separated for 10 years, Draven had it. So Serafina wasn't anywhere near it. So it needs her to activate it. So that's why they brought them together. But yeah, it doesn't just suck up souls. It's just used to store souls.
Okay.
So yeah, and then they use the power of those souls as the weapon. So it has multiple purposes. Like it's also a gyroscope. If anyone looks it up, you could see it's only missing a ring, which is something they have to find to use. So eventually they can turn it into a gyroscope, which will lead it to things that they need to do to destroy the weapon. Right now you cannot destroy it. So, but there is a way to do it, and that'll be series two where they try to destroy this weapon. So
nice, nice transition. Nice transition. Let me ask you another question. You're using a lot of scripture. I know I asked this question in the first time we spoke with you, but your religious background, our non-religious background, really fuels the story. So I think a lot of this is coming from your personal religious experience of maybe growing up, you know, in a religious school or a private school, or going to church on Sundays or something like that.
Yeah, I was forced to go to Sunday school. And my mom was very adamant about it. I did it for, I think it's the first 8 years. I think it's the first 8 years of school. So I think you stopped for high school, but yeah, before that it was every Sunday. And I actually, ironically enough, it kind of had the opposite effect because they didn't teach us anything about it. And it bothered me because I was stuck in the school, you know, and they taught us about, you know, drugs and alcohol and family and friends and stuff. And they never really taught us anything that I can remember that had to do with anything scripture. So I looked it up. I did all the research and I found it fascinating. But then, of course, I went and did research on Egyptian, Greek, Celtic, all that stuff. And all of that is in the story. So right now it's there's obviously a little Egyptian flair to it with Anubis in there. It'll have more Egyptian later. I'm working on a zero issue, which will kind of show you who pulled the strings, each character that pulled the strings. It's going to be in the point of view of six different characters that you get to see what created issue one. And part of that's going to have some Greek mythology in there. And of course, the Egyptian mythology. And then in series two, all of it is there, Celtic, Greek, Egyptian, and Catholic, and they all go, or Christianity, and it all goes into war with each other. So it'll be a fascinating war in series two.
I'm curious, you and your co-writer, how did you guys come together? Have you guys been friends for a long time, or is it just out of necessity, or how?
So... originally, I don't know if you guys know Resident Evil 2, but I originally was obsessed with the game Resident Evil 2. And I decided when I found out that role-playing online with writing was a thing, I actually started role-playing as Claire Redfield. And I did that for 15 years. And during that time, I held on to this idea about this angelic weapon that many writers had wanted, but I just didn't find the right one for me. They were all amazing writers. Don't get me wrong. If anyone ever hears this, you guys were amazing writers, and I loved all of them. However, it just didn't have the right feel to it. So for 11 years, I held on to that. And then I met my co-writer, Jessica, under a completely different character. I was playing Faith from Buffy, and she was playing Daryl from Walking Dead. And, you know, we hit it off, but like within 24 hours, if even that long, I just knew that she was the one that had to write the other part of the story. And I was very hesitant to ask her. I didn't know her that long. And giving someone a role, I don't know if you know about role play, it's a very personal thing and it requires a lot of the other person. I mean, you're going into this role that you have no idea what it is or how to play it. But I said, you want to take this role? And it's something that I've held on to for 11 years. And she said, I've never taken a role before and I never wanted to, but yeah, I'm going to take it. So she took it. She read the first starter I sent her was 4,000 words. Wow. And she was instantaneously hooked. And we just have not stopped writing since. And we celebrated our 3 years 2 weeks ago. We
congratulations.
Thanks. We watched horror movies and ordered pizza. that's how we celebrated that one. But yeah, we did not know each other for the longest time. Now she's like my sister. Like, we are super close. We talk nonstop. She just sent me a message. You know, we talk nonstop day and night. And it's turned into a very, very strong relationship, friendship type going thing. And if she was male, my husband would be incredibly jealous. So
let me ask you about Muse, because I make costumes and I'm a cosplayer. I just can't get into it like kind of like a factory and do it. I got to be in the mood or in the jazz or whatever you want to call it. How about your writing and your creativity? Do you, just sit down and go? Or does it, oh, wow.
Yeah, all that's
incredible.
All I need is my husband to not be around. So there's no talking. I need the TV to weirdly not be playing, but be paused. I don't know why. I'm dyslexic, so my only thought process is dyslexics see movement. For some reason, I don't know the connection. They see movement, but there's nothing there. But for some reason, if I pause the videos, then it doesn't seem to bother me. So my pretty much, I sit down on the couch with my laptop. I turn the TV on, I pause it, and then I write. And I can write generally anywhere between 2,000 to 6,000 words in a sitting. And it usually takes me between, I can do about 2,000 words an hour.
Wow.
And that's without any prep work. I just sit down and I just write it. I'm very lucky to be able to do that. You know, we already have over 100 issues written for both series put together. Same characters, but two different series. And yeah, it's just a passionate obsession. You know, we're just completely obsessed with it and we can't seem to stop. So here we are.
Let me ask you some con questions because, you know, I'm a big con guy and Red likes to go. How many cons do you try to go to a year and promote?
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I hate tabling at cons. I like talking to fans. I like doing local cons, the people that know me. I really like that. But I'd rather attend cons than have a table at them. I just hate being behind the table. I just feel so trapped and I miss out everything that's happening. I went to 10 and the only one that I'd probably do again is Nashville.
Nashville.
No, mostly they're too loud and too crowded to actually get to talk to people. The really big cons don't work for me. I need to pitch my story and all that stuff. So generally the local ones work better. So yeah, I'm going to stick to local. Next year I have Nashville I can sign up for in November. I'm going to do that. And then maybe one or two in Knoxville and that's probably it. But I do have a hardcover I'm creating. So that might be an easier sell because people sometimes like to see it all together. Right. We'll see how that works out. But yeah, I'd rather be there in line getting Sean Astin's autograph than sitting there watching the line for like 3 hours, which was upsetting because I really wanted to go get his autograph. So
Try to get the whole Hobbit lineup for that.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna have to. Like I want to get all of Supernaturals. That's my goal in December. They're coming to Nashville and I want to get their autographs, but you have to buy $800 tickets to get Dean and Sam's autograph. Or if you get lucky and you get the $160 ticket to get it. The only problem is my husband wants their autograph too, so it's double the price.
$1,600 now.
$1,600, which is a little bit trickier, plus hotel if I wanted to, you know, be closer and go for more than a couple days, so.
Yeah, well, you better get a lot more than just an autograph for that kind of price.
It's incredibly expensive. I'm gonna be honest, I was always a photographer. Like I would go and pay for autographs because then you can like hug them, put your arm around them, or whatever. My husband prefers the autographs, and now that I have a comic, I want the autograph. But I always did photographs, and it was actually cheaper. It was somewhat not cheaper, but it was just easier to get. You could get cheapo tickets for $90 and then you pay for your photograph for $200 or whatever. And then you go. And for a photograph, you both can be in it. So it's $200 for two people. Actually, it's up to three, but your autograph, you need, you know, one per. So it's a little bit trickier.
Yeah, it's just proof that you were with this person versus just an autograph for it can't be counterfeit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, but I gotta say, I've been to a lot of conventions. I used to go to anime conventions and dress up, cosplay, and I did a Vampire Diaries one, which I'm not the hugest fan of the show, but I did go try it. I didn't like it as much, but Supernatural, man, it's amazing each time. They're the nicest people you'll ever meet. They're so down to earth. And so fun to be around that it's amazing to go. So whoever doesn't, it's expensive as all hell. I'm going to give you that. But whoever loves Supernatural should definitely go to a con before it's too late because the show's over. So they're not under contract anymore. They can quit going to the cons anytime they want. Their contract ended like mid this year, I think. So now they can go to the cons. So, but yeah, definitely recommend it.
It's kind of sad that they had to cancel the I guess the prequel series, right? The Winchesters, which is pretty bad. But would you prefer the main actors, or do you get something more from like Eric Kripke, the creator of?
I prefer the original actors. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I eventually, if I ever capable in the 20 years from now, whenever, to actually do anything with this, if it's ever popular enough, I want to do an animated series, and I want it to be that you have to have at least guest starred on Supernatural to do the voice. just like Harry Potter, you have to be born in the UK. You don't have a choice. I kind of want that stipulation. But yeah, I love the show, and they're the, you know, their inspiration, them and Resident Evil are the two that prompted me the most. And, Buffy too, of course. I love Buffy and all that stuff. And in book two, I actually do have a couple of artists from my favorite things. I'm still searching for a Supernatural comic one. The one I found was too busy, and two others didn't answer. But I have a Resident Evil comic artist, the interior artist that did the Resident Evil comic book, has done an amazing cover for me that I absolutely adore. It's one of my favorite covers, and I'm super excited. And also, I got a Buffy artist from the comic book that did the interior art, Carl Moline. He's amazing. I got a Army of Darkness, the interior artist, Kevin Sharp, who's absolutely amazing too. So the next two that I need are Supernatural and Silent Hill. And I contacted Tristan Jones, who did Downpour, but I have not got an answer back. But I'm not going to give up. You just bother them enough, and eventually, hopefully, he'll do it. So.
Let me ask a childhood question, because my childhood was riddled with horror movies because I'm a big horror movie genre fan. Yeah. I'm assuming that you were too. What is your top three horror movies that you say are like your Mount Rushmore, but instead of like five, just the three?
I would say, since the first horror movie I ever saw when I was six was Nightmare on Elm Street 3. So that's one. And two would be Shaun of the Dead and Wrong Turn.
Nice, nice. What about you, Red?
Sorry, I was like paying attention to the.
your top three horror movies.
Let the Right One In, the French version. What was the other one? Dawn of the Dead. And what's that one with the haunted town? It's by Stephen King.
The Stand?
Stand?
No, sorry, it wasn't Stephen King. It's Salem's Lot.
Salem's Lot.
That is Stephen King.
That's Stephen King too. The television show with David Soul back in the early 80s, or the remake?
I think it was the remake, because it was like strictly on HBO, that movie.
Okay, here's mine. I have to say the original, George A. Romero, Night of the Living Dead, Phantasm, and Halloween 2 by John Carpenter.
And then Miss So is asking, that's actually hers, is our Aliens, Event Horizon, and Sunshine.
Good choices. Yeah, it's, she says that she enjoyed the Resident Evil movies and Silent Hill. If you love them, you're going to love the comic book. The first book is in a Silent Hill-inspired town where the town is merging with hell. So they're trapped there. You know, you could see the crack forming while she walks in. So she's the one that caused it. And, of course, it's Resident Evil. And Resident Evil plays into play more in 2 and 3 and on, because 2 is kind of like Resident Evil 1, where they're in the haunted asylum with the zombies and everything. But book 3 is 10 issues of them in a zombie-infested city where they meet up with two other survivors, and they try to survive to get out of this city. So, yeah, you'd really enjoy this. the comic book and,
Supernatural. They did a Scooby-Doo episode. Do you?
Yes.
You think you'll do one with Redemption with Anubis playing Scooby?
You know what? I might now. So I'm doing a mini series. I'm working on a lot of stuff. I'm writing the issue zero. I'm writing the origins, which happens before the prequel, where you can see where the whole thing started between the demon and the angel and how they were created and all that stuff. But I'm working on a mini series that's going to have them cross over into different indie stories and anything like public domain. So yeah, I would love to do something like that. And again, if I ever make enough money to be allowed to, I would love to get licensing from Supernatural to have them do a hunt with Sam and Dean or something as that. So yeah, I would love that. So we'll see.
Are you going to make a little love triangle or quad?
Yeah, because Draven gets jealous over any reason whatsoever. So right now in like book three, he's jealous over the character that's technically inspired by Leon from Resident Evil. But yeah, if Dean was there hitting on Serafina, yeah, there'll be some stuff going down. So
yeah, I would imagine Dean will be all up on her.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I totally can see that. Yeah. And I would love to do that. That would absolutely be a lot of fun looking going on. And since I love Dean, I was always a Dean fan since day one. That'd be tricky because that'd be like Serafina, you know, you got Dean over there. But yeah, so.
I mean, are you watching Jensen Ackles in The Boys as well?
I've seen parts of it. I've not seen it all. I want to see his new show. He's like in a cop show kind of thing.
Oh,
yeah. I have not seen that, but I do want to see that. I love seeing Jensen in anything. I loved him in Bloody Valentine. I loved him in originally, before I saw Supernatural, I saw him in Dark Angel. And I was always so mad because she was so mean to him and he kept trying to help her and he kept saving her life. And she's just such a B-word to him. So I always hated that. And I didn't like season two as much as one. And I was mad because he was in season two. I have the DVDs. You can't watch it online. Still mad about that. But yeah, I've always been a fan of Jensen and I love that I met him. I love that I got to spend, you know, 30 minutes talking to him
he's a beautiful man. He's a beautiful man.
He ages amazing. He's my age. He's like 3 days younger, I think, than me. He ages incredibly well.
What about his performance in Smallville?
Yeah, I remember that. That was good too. Yeah. Dark Angel is amazing. That show had such potential. But I didn't like the way two was going. You know, it's I don't know. It got too serious and too complicated. And I don't know.
Everybody just watch it for Jessica Alba.
Well, yeah, she's hot and in leather, of course.
Again, everybody, we're talking to Carissa Grant of worthychaos.com. And her webisode, Redemption, Chapter 7. So we're very happy that you're here, and the fans seem to love your stuff. So I'm going to ask you like a personal question. What are you most proud of, the whole thing, or is there just like something that your heart just loves about this that you created?
I love the whole thing. I mean, I love the story. I've read the story over and over, all five books. I never get tired of reading it. But getting to see my characters on the page doing what I pictured them to do in my head, and the emotion I get to see and the bond between the two characters get to grow. I love every single page of it. I'm super lucky to have an artist that's fast and loves the story, because I could not do this without him. He's incredibly an amazing artist, Jonas DaCosta. And for book two, we actually got a new artist, a new colorist to give him more time, and a new letterist. So now my artist can just focus on the art, which is really the most important for him to focus on. So, I mean, all the coloring and everything was great before, but we just wanted to upgrade it a little bit. So hopefully everyone likes it.
Speaking of the artist, do you have input on how the art was formed, how you wanted it to look, or you just let the artist go with the
No say in anything. I don't even have say in the panels. Like, he just completely over. I've had to, we butt heads in the beginning, and don't take it from me that he's hard to work with. I'm the hard one to work with, but he wanted to do his vision. And to me, I'm like, follow the script. And it took me halfway through the first one we worked on to realize that he knows better than me when it comes to panels. I turned back how many panels there are. I pulled back. So instead of 5 to 6 panels, there's like 3 to 4, you know, it gives him room to do what he wants to do because he makes all the action packedness, you know. I used to say small panel, big panel. Now I say screw it. He just does whatever the hell he wants. And it worked out beautifully because everyone loves his panel work. They love the action sequences. It's kind of like a comic movie novel. You know, we have thought bubbles that comics used to have in the day, but back then they were exposition. Now you get inside the head of the character like you would if you were reading a novel. Which is the point. We want you to enjoy it like a novel and get into the characters' heads, enjoy their emotions and their struggles and find out what they're thinking and feeling. And that's an important part of it, especially with Draven, because not only is he part demon, he's also an assassin. He clearly loves and has a deep, deep bond with Serafina, but he just cannot get those feelings out. So he never gets to really tell her that. But he would absolutely do anything for her. He would die or kill for her and whatever it takes. So she's the worthy chaos in the story.
I see.
Yeah.
So
she's worth it for him. And that's why he does everything he does. So, yeah.
Let me ask you another question. Doing these interviews on podcasts or online, do you dread it? Or is it something that you embrace? Because, you know, you're very free talking and it looks like you enjoy doing this, but it could be just nerves or whatnot too. So I'm asking you.
I'm going to be completely honest. When I first started, I didn't ever want to do it. I was paranoid and scared and totally freaked out. And now that I've done, I think the count's over 120. I actually really do enjoy it. I like talking to people about my story. I like getting the ideas out there and I like discussing, you know, answering questions and getting what people's background. So now I look forward to it. And I love doing it. Yeah. I still get nervous, but I love doing it now. So
well, we appreciate you here at C-List Villains. We really do.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I love coming on and you guys are always great. And I really appreciate it. I would love to come back with book 2.
We got open doors for you.
Awesome. Awesome. That's what I like to hear.
Can you give us more information about your Kickstarter now? As far as like,
yeah. So
the next bundle.
So this Kickstarter, the easiest way to find it is through the link you see there or searching Worthy Chaos on Kickstarter is super fast, but the only thing that pops up. And we have merch galore. I have been called merch queen by quite a few. We have plushies. We have Anubis plushies. We have skeleton bird plushies. We have a ton of plushies. We have handmade statues. We have buttons, pins, metal covers, everything you can possibly have ever wanted, we have. But I also make it really simple for people. So you're coming into issue 7, chapter 7, as we call it. And being that, you know, you might not want to get a ketchup tier. You might just want to start with issue 1, and you can do that. We have issue 1 available, both on a PDF and a printed. And then you could buy more back issues if you want to. We have all back issues as PDFs or printed in the add-ons. We also have a small ketchup tier that's right there. That's 1, 2, 3. We have handmade statues. If you want to scroll down, you can show some of the handmade statues. We have there's 3D statues too, but there's handmade statues. So these are the 3D statues. We have 3 Anubis ones. And if you scroll down, these are the plushies. The Hellhound sold out. So our mermaid just got sold, but we have the bust for the characters, and we have the very popular. If you go back up, you're scrolling too far. Sorry. Right there is our handmade Anubis statue.
One down, Red. One down.
One down.
One down.
Down a little bit. There you go.
There we go.
That's our handmade statue. And next campaign, we should have the handmade statues of the Hellhounds that are coming. I showed some of my fans when I got the pictures, and one's already sold. Wow. So I'll have one Hellhound statue probably for available for the next one. But yeah, we love merch, you know. Plushies are our bread and butter, really. They're all designed by me. And they're created and made, handmade by Down Home Textiles. And they're all unique. And absolutely love doing our monsters in them. For book two, we're going to have new monsters in plushie. The large salamanders. We're going to have the salamander monsters, the chameleon vampire bats, and our zombies in a straitjacket will be available. So
all your merch, is it local? Is it all from Kentucky or?
So the plushies are Georgia. You know.
Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks like you have the original.
I do try to stay local. Like I like to go to, I missed it last night. We drove all the way close to it and then realized that it was in the wrong spot and 40 minutes away in traffic. But I like to go to the local vendors and check out what they do. And I'm hoping, thanks to October, that we'll have more vendors nearby. And I love finding local people to do stuff for me. So it's a lot more fun.
It looks like you have the original pages on sale as well.
Those were the coloring book pages.
Okay.
We have two pages of original art, but they were in the last campaign, and they'll probably be in book two. We don't have any of this. What you see here is about 40% of the merch I actually own.
Wow.
So I can't overwhelm everybody, but you know, we have the gold-plated coins and metal bookmarks. I have four other kinds of coins. I have three other kinds of 3D printed statues. I have more plushies here. I have pillow plushies and everything. So yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on. So I put a lot of money and time and heart into this. And you know, it's not about profit. I don't really ever care if we have profit. The only thing I really care about is preferably making enough to pay my artist. You know, because I don't mind paying for merch out of pocket, but the artist needs to get paid. So that's the goal of the Kickstarter, is to be able to pay my artist each time. And issue, you know, 8 is already done. It's getting lettered now. And issue 9 has been sketched out. So we're on our way. Thank you. Yeah. And we have an embroidered bookmark too. That's very popular. So I think there's a few
left. Jessica are not taking anything as far as the payment then right now. Your co-writer.
What happened?
You and your co-writer are not taking any kind of, any of the returns from every purchase.
No, there's no profit made. I mean, you don't even want to know how much we'll put in this. There probably won't be profit for another year or two, but mostly because we put so much into it. I mean, we printed out 7, you know, and we also had 2 before that, but one got replaced because we didn't think it was up to standard. So that was 5,000 pretty much thrown away. And then it threw away another 4 grand because we didn't think it was up to standard. The comic book has to be as best as we could. And that's why we've added a new colorist for book two. We added a new letterer for book two, and hopefully that upgrades it a little bit for people. I like the new coloring. My co-writer doesn't. It's more bright and vibrant, and she likes the dark. Dark one, but we compromised, and hopefully people like it.
Well, the fans out there can see how passionate you are about this. So I think that says that everything, you know, in your face and in your voice and your tone, they could tell that this is your love. And that's why it's so special.
Yeah, it is. Our motto here is a story. The story is life. So everything revolves around the story. My husband is building a shed out back by hand, so that when I get the hardcovers, I have to buy 500 at a time. We have a place to put them. So that's pretty much what he's working on now. Everything revolves around our story.
For everybody, are you offering autographs on the books as well? Because
So right now, for $5 in the you buy you can get it as an add-on. It's $5. You can get signed anything, or if you get the three covers for signature. The signature is included. And also the higher tier, which is the Anubis statue and the magnet, the metal covered ketchup tier. These signatures are free. Yeah.
Nice.
All us comic book nerds want a signature on our books. You know, we want that.
Yeah.
All the creators involved to, you know, put their stamp of approval on that thing. That's their work. That's their love.
Yeah, absolutely. We love it. Yeah. And that was one of the greatest ego boosts to the cons is the ones that bought an extra one to be signed and not read. That was like nice. I like that. Or the ones who put their picture with me. I really like that too. That was like, I think two or three did it. And I loved that. I was like, really?
Isn't that a rush when someone asks you for your photograph? It's such a rush.
It was an absolute rush. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So yeah.
A shameless plug. I mean, I'd like to put my signed books in a comic capsule. Get it nice protected. And
I just sent my issue one to be graded. So yeah, I'm waiting for that.
Nice. We hope it gets a 9.8.
Yeah, me too.
So do you read comics yourself? I mean, being a comic creator, do you read them too?
So in the 90s, I read mainstream, Ghost Rider, Nightwing, all those. Now I only read indie. So I read Laurie Catella's, which is Path of the Pale Rider. She's live for another 3 days. Zombies and Cowboys, go back that. And if you back both, there's a print that you get that has both our characters in it. And you can see Draven all hulked out because he's jealous that he's touching characters. If you go to updates, you can actually see it.
I see.
Yeah, go to updates and it should be the first one. So hit more. You passed it. It's the first one all the way at the top. There it is. One more up. Should say free print. There it is. So if you click on, there you go. If you click on read more, you'll see the print. So scroll down a little bit.
Let's all do this together.
One more.
That Anubis is cool.
Yeah, that's the trading card. Here is the print. You could see her character, Jude, is about to kiss Serafina's hand, and Draven is not thrilled. So, he's about to kill him. And then you have Anubis on the right and her zombie bear on the left. So you get that for free if you back both of ours. But you only have 3 more days to back hers. So the link is at the bottom, or you could do pale-writer.com.
All right, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're a comic book nerd too, because you fit in with me and Red.
Yeah. Comics were definitely meant to be read and enjoyed.
Yes. I tell everybody that's how I learned how to read myself as a comic book. I didn't, because I have some ADD and whatnot too, and reading a textbook or something like that was just tedious. But you could really concentrate on the comic book because it was less about the print, but more about the story. So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm dyslexic, and it's a lot easier to do the comic books than it, you know, to read a book. I used to read novels all the time, but it's sometimes you have to reread paragraphs, you know. So it's nice to have the comic books and the pictures and everything, and nothing beats seeing my characters on the page.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tried so hard to find an artist, and this one just knocked it out of the park instantaneously. I didn't need any changes to it. I was just like, you're hired. So it worked out amazingly. And that's the trading card, by the way. We're $102 away from the glossy trading card stretch goal. Right. Nice. Now we passed the first stretch goal where no matter what tier you get 20 other PDF, indie PDF issue ones. And if you're a returning backer, there's 4 new ones. So there's 20 total, but 4 new ones. I try to add new ones each time, but I want my fellow creators to get seen too. So good morning.
There's our other co-host right there. Who woke up too late.
Hi, Ian. How are you doing, buddy? My friend, let's give another shameless plug for all your wonderful work that you did. And we'd like to hear that.
Sure. For anyone new coming in, It's, if you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Supernatural, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, Good Omens, or The Evil Dead, or Stranger Things, you would love this comic book. It's action-packed. It's got great art, great action. A lot happens. All our comic books, except for, I think, one issue five is 24 pages. The rest are all 28 to 38 pages for the same price. They're all 80-pound glossy weight paper, and they're absolutely beautiful. And they get better as they go. The artwork just keeps increasing and getting better. So absolutely, you know, give it a read. Try it out. We have PDFs. If you got a $5 PDF, you still get the other 20 PDFs. And all our tiers have the PDF too. So if you want to get a higher tier, you still get the PDF. And you get it in black and white and color. And we're not sure we're doing that for book two because of the new way we're doing it. So enjoy it while you can. we're going to try to do it, but it's going to be a little bit different. My artist used to do everything. He used to do letter, color, ink, pencil, everything. And now we have a growing team to it. So it's going to be a little bit different. But hopefully we can still do it. But for now, there it is.
Can you give us a little teaser on who's actually controlling the story here?
You mean like in like real life or in this actual story?
Actual story.
The actual story. Actually, funny story. We've met him once in issue one. He is the man that set up Draven to be arrested for the murders. His name is Davies, and he is a human, and he pulls the strings of all the angels, all the demons, and all the humans. And you'll see that in issue zero, where his true evilness comes out, and you'll see him also in book two and book three and on. And he's going to be a major part of the following books. Right now, he's a slight mystery, but he is Draven's boss, and who trained him to be an assassin. So he's one of the most evil creatures I've ever had.
You're saying he's more than human.
Yeah, he's human, but he's worse than the demons. So he's the worst. Right. Yeah, yeah. He's selfish and greedy and loves power. So, but he's very like he's very suave about it to say. So he's like a great huge manipulator, which makes him even more. He'll kill you with a smile, kind of thing, or a smirk is more his thing. So yeah, yeah. I can't wait to get more into his character. He comes out really in book. You get to see how evil he is right away in book two, and how he manipulates everything. And it's just so much fun to see that on page. But yeah, he's the one controlling it all from the day one. So 10 years ago, day one, probably before that. Good question though. I've never been asked that. So that was a good question.
Good job, Brett.
Yeah.
He's alluding to it. Like there's somebody else controlling the person.
Yes. You're the only one that caught on to that though. No one's ever, and I've done 120 episodes. So you're the only one.
Cause there just can't be just one. I mean, there's gotta be somebody else above him. Yeah. Possibly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a long line of, the whole story doesn't come out until you read all five. Then it continues on because of the what happened. So it actually gets you get to see more of it in series two. And series two we're still writing, but we're like 5-8 issues in, so we're getting there. By the time this series is done, 45 issues for this one, so it'll probably be done by then, hopefully.
There's a future in an omnibus to have all the issues. Yep.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a box set eventually, and it'll have a lot of stuff. You know, so for book one, there is gonna be a hardcover for it. It's in the works and available soon, and it's gonna be all seven issues, 222 pages, and it's gonna be upgrade a little bit. The font and stuff were redone in issue two. A lot of the editing was redone. Some panels were updated. But when the omnibus comes, we'll probably have a big redo for all of them. We'll see how that goes. It's perfect.
Well, we just want to let you know that we appreciate your work, your passion, and everything. We love you here at the C-List Villains, Carissa.
Aw, thank you, guys. Thank you, blush.
No, we really do. I mean,
I know.
It's good to have a guest that really feels the work. And we know that you do. So yeah. We just want to let you know here at the Sealess Villains that we appreciate you and we love your work.
Thank you. I can't wait to come back to show everyone the book two and the new art and lettering and everything. I'm so excited to see it all. I haven't even seen the lettering yet. I literally hired the letterer this morning for issue 8.
So, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
In the morning. So we'll see how that goes.
So that's an exclusive here at the Sealess Villains, right?
Yeah, now the exclusive.
To the moon!
So yeah, there you go. Exclusively a new letterer for book two. So yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So before we wrap this up, I mean, do you want to get the audience where to get a hold of you other than...
Sure. Like I said before, you can search Worthy Chaos on Kickstarter. We're there, or you could follow the link, theworthychaos.com. You can also find me on Facebook. It's Carissa Grant, or we have a Facebook group that we just started that has 700 members, and it's the Worthy Chaos Facebook group. And I'm on Twitter, which whatever it's called now, and I have about 5,000 followers on there.
Wow.
That's at worthy_chaos. And we like to post pages and all that stuff. So definitely excited to do all that. Yeah.
And also an IG page, correct?
Yeah, I do. That's also at Worthy. I think that's at worthy_chaos too. I think they all are. Twitter too. I'm not as active on there. I probably should be, but I couldn't figure out how to work it and find people. So now I'm everywhere else. But yeah, and anyone, new creators and everything, I'm the unofficial PR person for the new, for anyone new. So if you want to contact me on Facebook, I've helped at least 4 people get started and get interviews with, you know, people like you and get started on Kickstarter. And that's all free. I just like to help people. So there's that too. So
now that's something for everyone out there to know, that the kindness to help other people get started. That's a wonderful thing there, Carissa.
Yeah, well, I was very lucky. It's a very supportive group. And I said the infamous words, how hard can it be to make a comic book, when I first started, and it's incredibly difficult. I had people take me under their wing when I started. I got incredibly lucky. I didn't even know about Kickstarter when I started. So I'm very lucky that I found that those people found me and took me under their wing, and I want to pass it forward. So yeah, and I love helping, and I love the community. So definitely. Yes,
Well, again, thank you very much to take the time and effort to come here on Sealess Villains this early morning Saturday. And we want to thank everyone out there in podcast land, Miss Soul. Thank you. And from Evil Fett to Villainous Red, we want to say thank you, Carissa Grant.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Red, you want to tell them how to find you?
Find me somewhere. Yeah. Still hurt.
Find me through Carissa, because I'm going to start my own one. So
if you join the group, anyone can post their stuff. So wonderful. In the Worthy Chaos group, indie creators can post it, podcasters can post their links. We accept everyone in there. So
beautiful. You can find me at all social media at Evil Fed Cosplay. I take commission work. And again, Sealess Villains, the cultivator of cosplay. Tomb and cosplay and comic book culture. And we're going to say goodbye. Thank you, Carissa. Thank you, Villainous Red. We're out.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Sealess Villains podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you